buried on the site, whether the end of it all, what the requirements all are of the harbor, so.
Who's the man?
Some communities have, I'll say in-season, off-season codes, you know, rid of air, then you're doing the weekend jaunts, and then during the off-season, we don't, whatever. So, you know, it's a wide range, but we thought that this would be somewhat of a ground that could be, you know, what was it, 6 years ago, or perhaps longer, when council modified that code in order to allow those side yard occupations. But we just felt that they'd be modified to account for that access and maintenance issue.
So this is now then full scale, the size of the feet of the RV, and also the size of the lot, right? It's proportional.
Yeah, it is and it isn't, because your width, for the most part, while obviously it varies a little bit, your width for the most part is going to be fairly standard, because all of those types of vehicles, you know, have to fit within your traffic lanes. So they're all going to be in that, you know, 8 to 10 foot range.
So length, though, doesn't become an issue?
Length does not become an issue in this, in the way we have proposed.
Yeah.
Correct.
Two things I want to note. One is that our code previously had a size limitation of, I think, 19 feet for storage in the side yards. The other thing that I think is interesting is that I think the purpose of these other communities that have an on-season, off-season issue is to prevent long-term winter storage of, you know, someone parking the RV next to the house and leaving it there all winter. You can, the thought is, and that's, and that thought is that you shouldn't be storing RVs in long-term next to a house. One of the things that, one of the reasons I asked Bob could be here today was to get some sort of sense for how much of this is going on based on what you've observed in our city and how big an issue this is. I don't see much of this in the neighborhoods that I'm routinely in, but you're in a lot more of the city than I am on a regular basis. So if you've got any thoughts or observations about that, that would be helpful.
The experience we've had in the zoning department is this is not an issue. We do have specific individuals that they make mention of problems in neighborhoods, mm-hmm. and they keep coming back. There are those individuals, you know, some people say that don't have anything to do with it. That's who they are, and we accept them as part of our community. We have never had a problem, especially since we've gotten the property maintenance code established. We can utilize that in making sure we don't have junk, old school buses, old trailers, flat tires, can't move them, you know. That's history, pretty much. The people that have the RVs, that's part of their life. The majority of them in this town, in the city of Sylvania, have established pads, parking places. Then they're always in the same spot. They're in the back. In the past, the code that was established in Proctor 64, and in 1964, that's where that 1964 came from. That was a standard trailer, big one, mm-hmm. in those days. Of course, now the average sales, checking with the dealers, the average sales is 32 feet up to 48 feet. Well, those are big units. We have had locations in the city with their very nice units, they're sitting on their own concrete pads, that's where they are, they're well maintained, and they're not an issue. We have more of an issue complaint-wise when they bring their unit out of storage, bring it in, put it in the lot, and it takes them 3 days, 5 days, 8 days to get ready for their big trip out west.
Mm-hmm.
That's more of a complaint issue, if you will. And that's a mediation between the zoning department, the people that are complaining, and the owners, and that's not a major issue. Do people get up? Sure they do. But that's not an issue. I will also say that with these big units, I wouldn't want one in my neighborhood, unless it was the back. I wouldn't. But most of them are in the back. I don't know what happened during it was about 2 years ago when we changed it up. I don't know how we got that side yard. We never had it before. Kevin's got a valid point. However, most of the side yards in the, especially in the R1, the newer R1, you don't have room between houses. If you go to Centennial Farms and you put in a big unit there, you better be on a corner or it's not going to be there. Or next to the creek where you have. So it's really not a issue in the zoning department. It's more of a question is quality of life. What does the city want when it comes to recreational vehicles?
Okay, when you say the side lot, we had side lot storage before, didn't we?
I don't recall. Hadn't been in the backyard.
That wasn't my recollection, but I thought before it allowed storage in the side yard, but had this 19-foot limit.
It would be less than 19 feet.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
Yeah, it was in it was in the back.
I remember that instance that kind of triggered this was the couple over on Geary who had a RV, and I thought it was in there. I mean, we technically said it was their side yard. Do you remember that? Over next to Chief Reynolds' house.
Yeah.
Was that in the back?
Yeah.
I think it was a judgment call.
If you define the backyard as from the rear part of the house back, it was in the backyard. The one over on Marshall Street, that's a big house, but it's a huge complex. You've got a tarmac, if you will. And it's got an individual. We have one over on Gray, I believe it is. It's not a concrete driveway, it's a stone driveway, but most of the time, it's either in the big garage or it's adjacent to the big garage.
In the back.
In the back. Yeah, I think we should look at, if we're going to do something with recreational vehicles, they need to be in the back there, not in the side there. And the reason for that is if you're looking out your window of your house and you're looking at somebody's,
right.
And that's a problem.
What?
Can I ask a question? So, before houses started having the attached garage, there's a house. And then the garage is to the side and it's set back into the backyard. So there's some instances, like there's one on Brit Haven and there's one, a boat on Main Street, and the boat or the RV is pulled back. It's still on the driveway, but it's behind, kind of to the back of the house in front of the garage. Mm-hmm. So it's on the driveway, which says we can't do, but, or maybe that's a side yard. I mean, there's a clear difference between houses with an attached garage and then the houses with the garage set back a little bit. And then I'm also wondering, the 3 feet, I mean, in our code, if you want to put up a shed, how many feet do you have to have between a shed and the property line? That's it? So this is the same number of feet, I mean, for a boat versus a shed, it's the same.
Okay. You know, I'd like to go back to a point, though, that Doug made, and I've got a new appreciation for the east side of the town, because I work over that way now, you know, so I drive through there, I cut through there, I go out the back way when I go to the seafood restaurant, all that stuff. We keep referencing Lincoln Woods and Bryn Haven and all of our neighborhoods that we all live in on the west side of town, but it's a very different geographical footprint over that way. And I think we have to understand that an individual who lives on Gray or Silverton or whatever has probably more property, is a little bit further away from their neighbors, has probably a deeper lot, and probably can accommodate a side yard storage much more readily. And we have to make sure that we don't specifically isolate those folks as a result of this change.
That's a good point. I wonder if we can add something in that, like the square footage of your lot is somehow a factor in whether you can keep a boat or an RV, because you're right. Like on Silverton, some of those lots are like four lots. They're so long and big versus another lot, which is smaller, and it's not as much of a problem if your lot is huge. I don't know but you're right.
Okay, so our current proposal, I'm looking at this language. Five feet rear of the front, minimum of 3 foot side. So currently.
Yeah, there was a typo.
There is a typo.
I think the mayor caught it the last time. I think we left the word out. It's 5 feet from the front and 3 feet off of the side. There might be a missing word.
It says only one travel trailer or one pleasure boat shall be parked to the rear of a point, which is 5 feet to the rear of the front, and maintain minimum 3 foot side yard setback from the property.
I think you need to take the portion that says and maintain up to the property line and move it down a couple of lines, because I think it's not, it's confusing the way it's written right now.
I guess I'm concerned that we are trying to over-engineer this a little bit. I think Kevin, and I give credit to both Kevin and Bob for actually doing some substantial research about this since last time. I think Kevin has a very common sense approach to this, because it permits side yards where there is appropriate clearance to the lot line. That seems to accommodate larger lots and the nature of the neighborhood a little bit. And I think it's a very ingenious solution to what we've been sort of struggling with in terms of size and so on. I wouldn't imagine the neighbors would have much of a problem with your scenario, Katie, of somebody who has a very wide lot and a driveway that he chooses to use for a RV rather than to get access to his garage. If, you know, with this in place, it would recognize the ability for him to do that without impinging on his neighbors. So I don't know. I'm enthusiastic about what Kevin is recommending.
Yeah, I've gotten some comments on this, and the comments I got were that the people who two people contacted me to complain about RVs on side lots, and didn't care so much about them in their backyards, but were concerned about them in side lots. And I guess the issue is, you know, Bob's saying he thinks they ought to be in the back lot. If we were to allow them any size in a back lot, but have a size limitation on a side lot, that would probably effectively prohibit you from parking RV, you know, modern RVs in side lots. That's effectively what we would end up doing. And, but the other thing I hear Bob say is it's not a problem.
The comment that it's not a problem, we do not get that many complaints.
Yeah.
A lot of it is, how do you want your community? Where I live, you're not allowed to have RVs, period.
Right.
On the lot, that's it. And so the people that have them, store them. It's a little different here, here on the west side and the east side. The other thing that runs, you run into enforcement is, we treat the 40-foot RV the same as the student in the civil case.
Right.
And truly, in my opinion, you can take an RV and put it in a storage lot that's secure. You put a couple of students in a storage lot, they're gone. People pick them, they're gone, they pick them apart. Especially lately in the last 5 years, boats, you know, people are just going after any stainless, any chrome they can get. And, so that's an issue. Again, I don't think RV or skidoos in front of the garage all summer long is appropriate. Especially certain type of farms are, you know, and we get a lot of that over on Tamworth, that's a process of duplexes.
Yep.
Mr. Hanum,
yes.
The idea you had of differentiating between the side and the back rear yard makes some sense. What the administration was proposing was just safety and property access.
Right.
But to say, so that's, we've looked at it from a safety and property maintenance standpoint. If you want to go farther than that, I think as Bob talked about, another community, I believe you're referring to Ottawa Hills, doesn't allow storage on residential lots at all. You know, that's
for most of us, yes. There are some that get to do it.
That's the other that's the other extreme. But you also, I think, you need to be careful saying they can't be in a side yard at all. You have to be in the rear yard, because there's a lot of lots, whether the garage is attached or not, that you cannot get a vehicle into the rear yard.
Mm-hmm.
The lot's not wide enough.
Sure.
Because of the way the garage is not attached, you can't get through there. So don't go down that road without knowing that you're going to eliminate it for some people.
Yeah, well, you couldn't store, I mean, this isn't going to be an issue at my house. There isn't room to store, I don't think there's room to store a skidoo on the side of my house.
You have a wedged lot on the end of the cul-de-sac. You have a large backyard if you could get to it.
Yeah, and it's not very deep, but it's very wide. And it's fun to cut grass back. This is one of those things that I think almost whatever we do, we're going to annoy somebody here.
Well, yeah, except, you know, I just want to make sure that with this side yard piece, and I'm advocating that we allow Kevin's language for the side yard, I don't want to penalize the people who have lived in the city of Sylvania longer than I have, you know, out on the east side of town.
Mm-hmm.
They came here because they had space. They like living there. They like that lifestyle. Presumably neighbors who move into the street understand that.
Yep.
And so I don't want to create language that somehow excludes them from doing what they've been doing for 30 or 40 years.
Jim, you had something?
I did. I think I'm almost prepared to withdraw my comment, but you did ask Bob to check other communities to see what some of those options were, and others have different varyings on widths of offset, but, you know, we'd recommended three. Others had some time limitations that they imposed as well, and we're not necessarily recommending that, but I think that was another part of the investigation that he did.
Seasonal time.
Right.
Right.
Winter storage, is what it came down.
Right.
For RVs.
Those are effectively prevent winter storage, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Sandy, yeah, I know you had some.
I guess I just want to make sure that the 3 feet is enough room for safety issues. And do we have someplace in the code, I can't recall, that this item, whatever it is, RV, whatever, is so far from the structure, the residence, so that you can get our police or fire department, whatever, could get by on either side of this, so that it's not right up against the structure on one side and then the 3 feet on the other side? I don't know if that's important to police and fire, but I think the safety thing, I just getting people being able to get access to the backyard if they need to.
Well, the way I read this, you could park that RV right up against the side of the house, so long as there was 3 feet between the side yard and your RV. And
somebody's going to have a driveway with kind of slopes, and it's going to, they're going to ask, well, does it mean the top or the bottom?
Right.
The bottom may be 3 feet away, the top might be a foot away from the property line.
Right.
We did not address the closest to the structure. Our thought was that the police car had access around that unit, that they had the ability to get at it from all sides. They had the rear yard, they had access. That would give you, again, if you had the closest joint blocks with the unit, that would give you 6 feet. Minimum 6 feet of clearance.
And why would we legislate how close a property owner could keep a vehicle at his or her house? That doesn't make sense.
It'd be a little difficult.
I understand Sandy's point is, you know, what is there a safety issue there?
And you're
thinking, it's just so long as they have access, that's sufficient. I got to admit, I've gone back and forth on this in my own head. I have brilliant notes on a napkin that I think.
That's uncharacteristic.
Yeah, and this day I was really leaning towards a size limit on the side yard. There's a compromise, you know, we're going to end up compromising something here one way or another, and maybe the way to go is with what we've got proposed. That might be. Yeah, I'm kind of back to where Jeff proposed this. Because of some of the issues you're talking about. Is there some wordsmithing that we would need to do?
We might just incorporate some of the comments about where we place it in it, but I think if the decision is to impose the 3 foot side yard setback, we'll rewrite it, bring it back to council. I think it should be in a form that will be acceptable. I don't have it right in front of me what her comment was about the maintenance of it, but we'll get it done.
Okay, let's go ahead, Kate. I know you have
somewhere in the code, isn't there something about parking, not being able to park on your grass or your lawn? Is this a conflict?
No, that both provisions would still be in place. Still would not be able to park it in grass.
So if you're going to park on a
rear yard. Is that right, Bob?
Not exactly. You can park the vehicle in the rear yard.
Where would you locate that?
That would be the same side yard.
So you can park it in the side yard on the grass?
That's correct. You cannot park
on the grass.
On Tamworth, you have a neighbor that needs another parking space.
Fine, so you would take
put
this.
Stone. Eventually, yeah. Stone. And, you know, that's right up next to the house.
Yep.
And I move it to there.
A lot of people do. Not in your area as long, but you get on the east side. Now, you see a lot of that.
And maintains a minimum. Make it
I'll say this. when it comes to recreational vehicles.
Okay. Take care of this.
One Centennial Farm, there's a couple on Erie, there's one over on Marshall. And on the east side, there's a number of them. But the thing those folks have done is they've made it part of their structure. They put a pad down, they park on the pads at the same spot all the time. The issue that zoning grapples with is the guy that pulls their RV and bought it at auction, sits it there, and the neighbors complain. Or if they're, or they're bringing it out from storage.
I don't know.
But, you know, there's a reasonable time limit for that. My neighbor does that every year, every season. He parks it out there for a day and a half, and everybody gets it.
Yeah, but your rule is 48 hours, and zoning's flexible with that. First, you know, they may have it there 2 days before someone complains. And then we go over and check it within a day, and back, and they'll be gone this weekend. People are okay with that.
So one more thing, does a pleasure boat or travel trailer have to be in good working order? Like if there's, you know, somebody buys a boat and it's a project boat and they're working on it and it's never going to go back in the water, but they think that it is, or a travel trailer that has a big blue tarp over it and,
well,
yeah, we're going to get it running next summer, but it never really does. I mean,
the rule is it has to be licensed. Most people won't license it unless they use it. Not cheap. The trailer has to be licensed. That is about the only thing. But in, well, there are some, I'm sure, but most of the boats move on a regular basis. There's a boat over on Vicksburg that towards Tail Shatter, and they actually added a section of their drive to keep it there. And that guy, that boat's going every day. You know.
Well, it's gone through the winter, it sits there during the summer, and it's gone on the weekends.
Yeah,
he parks it in the front of his house, on paving, driveway extension, and, you know, that seems fair. I don't know whether you've gotten complaints about that one or not, Bob.
Oh, yeah. And we
used to have another person who had an enormous RV. He'd park it in the street for a day or two each year, moving into it or equipping it or doing something. You can't get in the driveway. You can't go up the curb and it scrapes the back.
And we had Mr. Billis. He serves his there a long time. It works out.
Does this 3-foot setback do anything for the boat that we had the original complaint about?
Nope.
On Greystone?
We're referring to which complaint are we talking about?
The one that set this changing of the code in motion. Greystone, is that where?
I don't think so. I think there was enough room on the side yard there.
I would have had to take a look. I don't know if there was 3 foot or not.
I walked around the boat.
It looked like there would be 3 feet.
I didn't measure it. 3 foot's not that long. And I was able to walk all around the boat. So, and, you know, quite frank, he had that boat up right up to the edge of the garage as opposed to the house, as opposed to the back.
Uh-huh.
It took me some pushing to get him to move it back, right? Which, that happens, you know, you get the wire. So, what it is.
Well, you know, I think we've... we're gonna compromise on this. I mean, there isn't a perfect world here, so I'm inclined to ask administration to prepare legislation along the lines of what's been proposed for us to consider at our next council meeting and refer to the Planning Commission.
3 foot,
5 foot from the 5 foot from the front, 3 feet from the side. Okay. So I would, as a chair, I don't know if I can make a motion.
I'll make a motion.
And I need a second.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay. So that's our recommendation. All right. Well, that was easy. So now we'll go to something hard. Facade lighting. Well, we have been around on this for a while. We've had a couple of, this all started because of the addition of lighting to Flower Hospital. Last summer, I took a tour of a number of zoning codes in Perrysburg and elsewhere about facade lighting. And the issue really is, I think at the end of the day, is yes or no. And what's interesting about the proposal we have in front of us is that we have a qualified yes. And that is, and Jeff, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but as I understand this, you would allow facade lighting in essentially in business districts, non-residential districts.
You said Jeff and Kevin.
I meant Kevin. Yeah, I'm sorry. I had a senior moment there. I'm sorry about that. Anyway, I kind of like Kevin's proposal in that we'll allow it in a business district, but we won't allow it in a business district that faces a residential district. So that, I mean, frankly, I think it's generally kind of ugly. You know, I don't really like it much, but I'm a little reluctant to impose my good tastes on somebody who's trying to brand their business and doing what they think is appropriate for their business. When it's not impacting unreasonably my neighbors. I mean, it's one thing to drive down Monroe Street or out of Lexus and look to the left and see that ugly facade lighting, which may or may not be there now, but would be able to be there under the proposal that's on the table. And the problem that our neighbors on Haroon had where that light was shining into their home. So I kind of like this, compromise, if you will. So let's think, I've had a conversation with a couple people. I had a good conversation yesterday with Mary about how this would impact, for example, you know, the Flower Hospital complex going forward. And, because of its location and because it is surrounded by residential areas, I'm thinking that the only place they could really put facade lighting on a new building that they built there would be on the side of the building that faced the interstate. It would effectively, I think, prohibit facade lighting on new structures. Because they are so surrounded by residential areas. Now, you might be able to do a little bit more to the north, but I don't know that that would really meet their, you know, their branding goals. So they would likely, if they wanted to pursue that, they would need to pursue a variance.
Should we be concerned about that?
Well.
There.
We were just talking about that.
I mean, I think.
That's what we're talking. I mean, and that's where this is. Forward with it.
Yeah, I mean, you could make a case that Flower was not absolutely clear what their intentions were at the time. I'm not suggesting that was wrong because at the time it was legal, I suppose. But
I have a different issue on different view of that. But that's go ahead.
Well, I'm trying to give our biggest employer the benefit of the doubt. You know. And I assume under this legislation they'd be grandfathered in for what they've got, which I think is absolutely appropriate.
Right.
But I think beyond that, we do have to look at the interests of our residents, and I don't think that commerce should trump personal property rights as it relates to this issue. And so they have, I believe, appropriately branded their campus, I mean, sufficiently branded their campus. And I don't know that I should be
concern, particularly if there's room for them to come in and publicly request a variance. I think that's a fair way to approach it.
We saw the other morning a proposed master plan that's in study over there, and where the old lake park would be demolished, they showed another building down there.
Right.
If they put these green lights on those buildings, those would be right in the backyards of those neighbors on Arrowhead.
And, you know, you can say what you want, it's certainly subjective, but I think reasonable minds could conclude that it's intrusive at that distance.
Yep. But per the code that you're writing, it wouldn't be allowed in the Flowerhead Hospital campus at all, except that it's grandfathered in.
Yes. And I think we've given reasonable accommodation and common sense accommodation to folks that are in a area that's zoned commercial, right? I mean, I believe that any business that's on Alexis Road in a 100% commercial area should be able to do these lights. We've allowed it at restaurants and bars for years. So this is really, in my mind, just a matter of, as you suggested, residential areas and commercial areas that are adjacent, facing residential areas. I think it's a reasonable pathway. It's really good.
What about in our historical downtown district?
Well, they have a different standard anyway, so we're not going to approve it there. I mean, that has to go to the architectural approval board.
Yeah, and it's expressly prohibited.
Yeah.
Even though there's a little bit downtown, that's grandfathered in also.
Yeah. If we had architectural review everywhere, we'd have a different issue. Then we could legislate taste a little more, but
it's probably too late.
Well, frankly, not everybody likes that. I mean, I understand. Again, it's a balance.
You know, Mary, I didn't mean to give short shrift to your, I don't know what your discussion was with Doug. Have we heard from Flower on this matter?
I have not heard, and I have not had a specific conversation on this topic.
They know it's coming up.
Yeah, I brought it up. I haven't talked to folks at Flower about it. I haven't talked to anybody.
My guess is if they've stayed silent about it, they don't have any concerns.
Well, they probably don't know about it.
We probably don't know about it. But again, I think our job is to legislate on behalf of the community and to try and accommodate them in an appropriate way. As I spoke with Doug yesterday, you know, I definitely think this is moving in a positive direction, but we could end up with a lot of different colored lights all over if the community decided they wanted to do this, and we could end up, everybody could put lights up in the business district. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. Certainly, ProMedica has other buildings in our community, some of which are in business districts. I think that's Spiragowski and the old Bifstuna Bank or whatever.
Knock themselves out with
that. Yeah, so, I mean, they could put lighting up there. And I think that it's, what is the bigger picture? I think the Flower Hospital campus, I think, will be something that will be another dialogue at another point in time. They may ask for a variance, and we'll have to deal with that at this point.
You know, at that point, there'll be a public process. Mm-hmm. Neighbors will be able to come in. You know, just a little bit of context. From a marketing standpoint, you know, my day job, this is a fad, okay? Everybody's talking about branding now. Everybody feels that, you know, you have to be very consistent, and branding is the end-all and be-all. In 10 years, no one will want to do it. We're going to be onto something different, you know? So I think this is an immediate concern. I would be willing to bet that in 10 years, ProMedica is going to be taking the lights down. But now is now, and we have to legislate for now, and I appreciate that.
I also think it can be a costly endeavor, so I don't think we have to have a lot of concern about many businesses moving in this direction.
Yeah, good point. Very good point. So does this go to the Plan Commission?
Yes. Yeah, this would go to the Plan Commission as well. And yeah, I think it's I'm comfortable with this proposal.
From
a taste standpoint, I would just soon say no, but I don't really think that's my purview. just.
Then 90% of the advertising everywhere would.
Right, right. A lot of things I don't like. I'm getting over it. So, I don't know, do we have any, is there any other discussion on this, or are we prepared to move forward? All right, yeah, Katie?
I was just gonna say, I agree with you, Doug. I don't like it, and if it was just my decision, I would say no, but it's too late. We have, like, it's going on everywhere already, and it is what it is, so. I like the how we put the regulation so it doesn't impose on our residential districts, and I think at this point, that's all we can do.
Well, and it's more permissive than Harris, right?
Right.
And I think we wanna be business friendly, you know, so I mean, we are splitting the difference in an appropriate way.
And as long as it can't happen in our downtown historical district, then, you know, Monroe Street, whatever.
And it protects the remaining of our residents.
Right.
Face them, so I think it's good for them.
So, I would entertain a motion to, refer proposed ordinance number 25-2013 to the, Planning Commission for their review and comment.
Second.
You'll have to do that in open council, you can.
That's our committee.
That's your committee recommendation.
That's our committee recommendation to council. Yeah, and we'll do that at our next meeting. That's what we have on the agenda. We have a hearing Monday night on the sign code issue.
We do?
We do.
Big casino.
We get to legislate on the First Amendment, anyway. So, we will, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
Some minutes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.